The sermon I'm going to preach today, I hope it really makes us think a lot about thankfulness and dependence upon God for everything we need. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Luke, the 12th chapter, verses 16 through 21. And I would like to ask you to stand, if you're able, as I read from God's Word. Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully, and he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And God, today, I pray, Lord, that each and every one of us will be yielded to you, Father, that our hearts and our trust will be in you 100%, that we will not rely on ourselves, because we will stumble and fall. And Father, as I speak this message, I pray that every word comes from you, Father God, and nothing from my thoughts or my flesh. And God, we give you the honor and the glory and the praise. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So we're looking at a man who basically had good crops, and his barns were filled, and he stands out there looking. He's looking at what he has gained, and he sees that he needs more. So he says, "Well, what am I going to do?" So he tears down all of his barns, and he builds for himself bigger, and he builds up greater things so he can continue to store up more and more and more. And as I read this passage of Scripture, it made me think that today in our own very lives, if we are not careful, we can become like this man who favored his own prosperity. See, he trusted in himself. He trusted in his own ways and in his own desires. And we see that it got him into trouble, because later in the Scripture, he says, "Well, I've got everything basically that I need. So I'm going to sit back and I'm going to take it easy. I'm going to eat, drink, and be merry." And God says, "Fool, this night your soul shall be required of you." Now, I want you to think back in the Bible. There's a story about the rich man and Lazarus. Now, the rich man, he had everything he could ever want or desire. And Lazarus was a beggar who ate the crumbs that fell from his table. Lazarus had nothing. And in that story, Lazarus and the rich man both die. And you notice that in the story that Lazarus is taken immediately to be with the Lord, and he is in eternal peace, and the rich man dies and goes to hell. And there's a conversation that takes place between the rich man and Abraham, and he says, let Lazarus dip his finger into the water to touch my lips, because I'm in torment in these flames, basically. So the rich man in this story, his soul had been required of him. He laid up for himself treasures on earth. He trusted in his own need to supply for himself. And I want to say this morning, how many times that we as Christians, we get to trust in God and we live for the Lord, and things are going good, and then all of a sudden, we get so comfortable with ourselves that we decide to take over the steering wheel. We decide to put ourselves in the driver's seat and steer our own destination. And how many times has it gotten us into trouble? I can guarantee you that this guy right here, so many times has said, "Lord, I can do this. I've got it under control. I need you to get out of the way now. See, I know my desires and my wants." And you know what God has said many times? "Fine, I'll let you have it, and let's see where you go with this." And I can't tell you, if I was actually driving a vehicle called life, I can't tell you how many times I put that vehicle into a ditch. And every time I put that vehicle into a ditch called of life, I put that vehicle into a bad ditch or sometimes a deep ravine, I would have to call out to God and say, "Okay, Lord, I've made a mess out of things. I have depended upon myself. And now, Lord, I'm out wandering in a wilderness. I'm lost without you." Now, the Bible tells us to store up for ourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves cannot break in and steal. But we are to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. Do you know that a man or a woman whose life is dependent upon the Lord and looks toward heavenly things is going to be a person that's a lot happier? There was a time in my life, now my dad raised me and my brother and sister, and this was my dad's philosophy. My dad's philosophy was go out and make a lot of money. Do the right things. And take your money and keep it for yourself. This was my dad's teachings now. So I kind of followed this principle. And when I got into pastoring at a young age, I started to follow some teachings of some preachers who were basically saying, there's a prosperity gospel out there. If you trust in the Lord, you'll become rich. That if you'll invest all your money into my ministry, God will bless your need, whatever it is. And so I started to follow this kind of a teaching because in my life, I wanted a big church. I wanted a good salary. I wanted a nice car and I wanted nice clothing. I wanted all the good things of life. And you know what? I got it. I had a good church, I had a good crowd, I had good salary, and I had all the good, I had a Cadillac. And you know what happened with this guy here? This guy got prideful. This guy got arrogant. This guy got filled with himself, and I no longer depended upon the Lord. And then my sights, I no longer was satisfied with the church I was in, and then I was trying to eyeball even bigger churches and more money because I thought, as long as I've got money and as long as I've got these things in life, I'm going to be all right. But I wanted more, and I wasn't satisfied. Every single day of my life, I would worry about my money. Would I lose it? What would happen to me if I lost it? How would I make it? And then I noticed my prayer life started to decline. And I no longer had a need to consult the Lord anymore for anything. And I preached a few weeks back, and I told you what happened. God had to bring me down to a place where I didn't have the church, the crowd, the salary, or the Cadillac. Instead, I ended up with very little money, no church, driving a Dodge that I got from my brother-in-law, and I got left sitting in a pile of ashes wondering what I had done. And I reached a place in my life where I had come to the Lord. And I said, God, what I have done, I'm sorry for. I repent. I was prideful, and I depended upon material wealth and riches. I had taken what my dad had taught me, and I took it the wrong direction. But this I want to do say, when I surrendered my life to the Lord, you know what? That Dodge I had, Effie, that was one of the best. I enjoyed driving that car till the day that it caught fire. And when that car caught on fire, I was provided a Toyota Camry. And I drove that thing till it reached 330-some thousand miles and traded it off, and I got a different car. It wasn't a new car, but you know what? Every time God started doing something in my life, I told the Lord, I will take, Lord, whatever you give me, and I'll be proud of it. I'll be happy with it. When I go to get my suits now, I like to go to the Goodwill. And I find these things, just this jacket here, $14. I'm happy with it. I go and buy things at the Goodwill if I see it on sale, or if I go to a rummage sale, I buy it, and I am happy with it. Because you know what, folks? The clothes that are on my body and the vehicle that I drive is nothing compared to what God can give and what God can do in my life. So this man had everything. Now, if the world was looking at him, they'd say, man, this guy's got it going on. But if we look at it from the Christian standard, we could say, this guy ain't got nothing. This guy is a loser. He's definitely a loser. See, when we put our trust and all of our belief in the riches of this world, we're going to fall and we're going to fail. There's empty promises out there. So these preachers who get in on TV and say, well, you can have a rich life. You can have a lot of money by tithing and giving to the Lord. Don't follow that. Money is the love of money, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, I want to say this. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of money. That's not a sin. Because there were people in the Bible who had a lot of things, who had a lot of wealth, but they've had God first in their life. Job was a man. He lost it all, and God restored him double everything that he had. But Job still looked to God first. So there's nothing wrong with being rich. There's nothing wrong with having a lot of things, but it's what you do with what you have that matters. I heard a story of a guy who went and bought him a brand new car. He took that thing home, and every day he would pull it out of the garage. He would wash it, dry it off, wax it. On Sunday morning, he decided, well, I'm going to drive it to church. And he drove to church, and he went to everybody in the church and says, look at my new car. Ain't it beautiful? Ain't it grand? And then the next Sunday, he thought, well, you know what? I don't think I'm going to go to church this morning. My car is a little dirty. So I think I'll wash that car again today. So eventually, over time, the man spent more and more days with that car. So what I'm saying is, don't spend time, don't make things a god, what the Lord has given to you. Don't make that a god. But what you need to do is you need to spend time with the God who gave you the things. Make Him first in life. Amen. There is an ungodliness which characterized this man. God was not consulted in any way, shape, form, or fashion. His way of living was I and my. And you could see in the scripture, he says, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. I will store all my crops and goods. I will say to my soul. So it was all I and my. Self-centered and prideful. There's a song in the hymnal that says, years I spent in vanity and pride, caring not my Lord was crucified. Knowing not it was for me He died on Calvary. So see, we as Christian people, we need to focus our attention on the Lord every day. You know, God restored my life. God gave me a beautiful wife. God's given me a nice little house. It ain't a brand new condominium or mansion, and I don't need that stuff. And it's not the finest looking, but you know what? I'm happy with what I got. And every single day, I have learned to get up, get on my knees, or if I'm too sore to get on my knees, I do go to the Lord in prayer, and I say, Father, thank you for my home. Thank you for my family, for the clothing, the food. Thank you for the money you provide. Thank you for the vehicles we have to drive. Thank you for supplying every need. And Father, don't let these things take priority in life. Don't let them become above you, dear God. See, we should not become self-centered. We should not become self-reliant, because the moment that we do, we will trip and fall, because if we lose sight of God, we will become the unhappiest people in the world. There is nothing in this world that can bring you joy like Jesus can. I would rather live under a bridge and have nothing and have Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'd rather have Jesus, have nothing else at all. Because if I don't have Jesus, I ain't got nothing. You know, people back in the days of the Egyptian pharaohs and all that, well, King Tut, when he died, he was buried in a fancy tomb. And do you know what they did back in the day? These pharaohs, these kings, they would have all their riches, furniture, money, and everything buried with them, because they thought in the afterlife they were going to take it with them and use it. Well, when you're born, you come into this world naked and you come into this world with nothing. Now, when you were born, did you have a Rolex on your arm? Did you have a money-filled wallet? Did you have a Ferrari waiting outside? No. You didn't have a grand house waiting on you when you were born. When you were born, you came into the world with nothing. And when you die and leave this world, you will die and leave this world and take nothing with you. But guarantee this, when you die, you will stand before the Lord God and you will give an account of your life. Everything that you said, everything that you done, thought, the ways that you treated people, it will all be put out before you. Nothing will be hidden on that day. Now, God forgives us of our sins and casts them as far as the east is to the west. But the Bible does say we will give an account. So, what's our life filled with? What is our life like? Is our life filled with love and joy and peace? Is our love filled with Christ? Because I'll tell you this, when you have Jesus here, you don't want nothing else. People who are rich and have money, I tell you, and honestly, I've listened to testimonies of people who had everything, people who built their own business and had an empire and had money to last for generations in their family. They said, I was so unhappy. I could not find true contentment. I've always said you could take a dollar bill and you could lay it down there and you could pray to it and it ain't going to do nothing for you. All it is green printed paper. It's not going to bring you happiness and it's not going to bring you joy. The things that you have in your house, they're not going to bring you satisfaction. You ever watched a kid on Christmas morning get the one toy that they just died to have, and they got it and they played with it for a little while, and then after a little while you see that toy laying aside, and then what the kid's saying, oh, I got to have this now. Oh, but I want that. And it seems like it's never ending. And we give things to the kid, and all they do is they use it for a while and put it aside. But what I'm saying to you this morning is God gives us so much. He gave us His only begotten Son, who gave us life everlasting, gave us a home in heaven for all of eternity, and He has given us a joy unspeakable and full of glory. The greatest gift we ever received is when Jesus Christ left the splendors of heaven, humbled Himself, and came as from a king to a humble servant, became a baby, and was born into a manger, which is basically a concrete feeding trough for the animals. He came so humbly, but He gave so much when He died on the cross and shed His blood for our sins. He bridged a gap. He gave us a new life. He gave us a new chance, a brand new start. Here last week, I started kind of dabbling in something a little bit. And, of course, my wife, I always tell her, you know, she keeps me on my toes. But she said, "Did you pray about that first?" I said, "No." I kind of feel like a kid that took a cookie out of the cookie jar right before supper. I wasn't supposed to have that. And I said, "No, I didn't pray." And she said, "Well, I kind of wondered because you look like you're sitting there thinking about something." I said, "Yeah, I've been wondering how this situation would work out if I go after that." And she said, "Well, why don't you pray about it and see what the Lord says?" Good idea. So I started praying to the Lord about this situation. Haven't got an answer yet, but I tell you what, in my heart, I feel better having given it to God first, because I know that God will open doors in my life. See, God will supply every single need that you have. Money does not provide for the needs we have. I mean, yeah, it'll pay for food and all that, but it doesn't really satisfy. It doesn't really give us what we truly need in life. But God provides for every need. So, see, when I was at my lowest point there, I had to look up and say, "God, I give it all to You. Lord, I got bills now I've got to pay, and I don't know what I'm going to do about them. I've got needs that need to be met, but I'm going to trust You with it." I had to be brought to a lowly place in order to look up. I had to hit rock bottom to look up and see where my needs were going to be met. It was with the Lord. I didn't give to Oral Roberts or Jimmy Swagger. I didn't give to none of that stuff to get what I needed. I trusted God with it. And when I trusted God with it, God started to restore me. And I just named off the things that He has restored unto me. And God has blessed me with a good job. God has blessed me with this ministry, and I want to do it the right way. I don't want to ever take the preaching that I do and say, "Well, God, here's my plan and my idea. Just let me go where I want to go and do what I want to do," because it ain't going to work, and then I'll be flat on my face. I've been there once, and I don't want to do it again. I don't want to be so filled with that pride. Just like this man here promised himself long life. The Bible says our life is but a vapor. It is appointed unto man once to die. We don't know when we'll die, but when we do die, how's God going to find us, and how are we going to stand before Him? This guy thought, "Yep, I'm young." He probably thought, "I've got all these years ahead of me, and I've got everything laid up I'll ever need. I'm good." Self-reliance. He preferred the world over Christ. And that's what we're seeing today. We are seeing Christian people today who are starting to seek other avenues of life, and they're trying to find other answers to what's going on in the world. They have preferred the ways of the world than the ways of God. And the Bible says that in the last days, there will be a great falling away. Our churches are becoming more and more empty Because people are not satisfied with the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they are satisfied with the doctrine of the world, and more people are going to hell in a handbasket. We are at a point in this life and in this age that God wants us to witness. We should encounter folks like this and show them love and show them the truth of God's Word. You know, I'm rich. I'm very rich. You know why? Because I'm a child of the King. I'm rich because I have an eternity in heaven where nothing can destroy it. Nothing can take away from me what I have laid up in heaven. So that's why I want to witness for the Lord. That's why I want to pray for others, love people, and serve them. And if I've got the money or if I've got the food or the clothing, to give it and never want anything in return for it. But just to serve somebody else. I don't want to hold on to the things that I've got. And also for sure, like this man, he was preferring worldly time over eternity. We get so blinded by the enemy, we keep thinking, yeah, boy, I've got a lot of time to make things happen. Well, no, you don't. Jesus could come back right now and take us right out of here. And how's he going to find us? Or we could leave this place and we could go home. We could die. We could have a heart attack. Whatever it may be. I'm not trying to be grim. I'm presenting a truth before you this morning. If you were to die today, how would you stand before God? How would he find your heart? What's going on in your life right now? You can't trust the things of this world. I don't trust money. I don't trust investments. I don't trust retirement. And I just say this, I've got retirement, yeah. I ain't got a lot in it. But that's not what I'm relying on. I don't look forward to retiring because the Bible, to me, this is how I look at it. I'm not saying this is right or wrong. This is how I look at it. I've never seen anything in the Bible that talked about retirement. So I don't plan on retiring. I'm going to plan on going as long as I can, as long as I'm able, doing for the Lord. Because you know what? I'm not trusting a retirement to provide for my needs. I'm trusting in God to provide for every need. And that's exactly what he's done. I love it when I get to come here and preach on Sunday. I love it when I get to fellowship with you. Because I leave with my heart full. My heart filled with joy. And this morning, it was wonderful when I got to, 2 weeks ago, I got to meet Amy's son. And then today I got to meet Savannah. And what a joy. Two more people I got to know. And I look as that makes me rich because, I may not know them well, but I can call them friends. I can call them friends. Because I've gotten to know them, and I like to get to know them better. So that's a blessing to me. What's a blessing to me is what God's given to me, what God is providing, and I'm thankful for it. Now, one day, I don't know if this old body's going to be laid to rest in that grave that I've got over Murfreesboro. I really don't care what they do with this old shell after I'm done with it. But you know what I want to have happen while I'm here? I want to be a blessing. I want to love everybody. I don't care what walk of life they come from. I don't care if they're a drug dealer, a prostitute, a gay or a lesbian. I don't care if they're a devil worshiper. I don't care if they're a pimp or whatever. I don't care what walk of life they come from. I want to be the kind of guy who can love them. I want to be the kind of guy who can be a loving witness to what Jesus has done in my life so they can see it and they would have an opportunity to get saved. I want to be the kind of guy that could go help out in the soup kitchen and that I could bring a smile to somebody's face. I want to be the kind of guy who's got this word alive in his heart, that I could share this word wherever I go, whatever I'm doing, that I could be, sometimes maybe my smile would be the only witness some people would ever get. I heard a story, I'll share it and then I'll close. There's a lady who was walking down the street one day and she passed a man. And the man had a disgruntled look on his face. The only thing she did was she looked right at that man, he looked right at her, and she smiled and said, "Good morning, how are you today?" And then continued to walk. And many, many weeks went by. She didn't see this man. She didn't know what happened to him. But one morning, as she was walking her same route, walking to work, she sees this man from afar off coming toward her. And he was smiling. He was bright. He was cleanly shaved. He had a joyful expression on his face. And he stopped her. And he said, "Ma'am, I don't know your name or where you come from, but," he said, "I want to tell you something." He said, "Some weeks back, I was going through one of the worst times of my life." And he said, "I was on my way to commit suicide." He said, "I was on my way to end my life. But you walked past me and you smiled at me and you said, 'Good morning.'" And he said, "I saw something in you that I knew I didn't have." And he said, "So I started going down to this church every week, and I would go into the service there." And he said, "It was there that I found what you have, what I saw, and it was Jesus." And he said, "I received Jesus as my Lord and my Savior and gave Him my heart and life." And he said, "Now, life means everything to me. I have joy. I have a reason to live." So see, that's what it's all about. It's about taking this word. It's being rich in His love, being rich in His abundance. That's what we're here for. Like I said, the things of this world, they don't offer you no hope. You could have it all. But when you die, someone else is going to get it. Yeah, that's right, Milton. They ain't going to take it with you. You're going to die, you're going to leave it here, and it's going to be handed out. I can't tell you. I see this. I work in the funeral home. I see this. I see it happen. I see families fight and quarrel over material possessions. And it's sad that there is division and strife brought down because of a little thing called money or possessions. This old world ain't got nothing to offer me, but there's one who's got something that He offers, and it's so rich and free, and it gives me life and gives me joy. And I want to live it every day. I want to share it with the world. What about you? Is there somebody you know, or maybe something you're struggling with in your life that you just said, "Well, you know what, Lord, I got this. Let me have it." Well, it's time to turn it around right now and say, "Okay, Lord, I give it to You, and I'm going to trust You with it," because we don't need to be filled with pride, and we don't need to be filled with our own desires of life, because it's going to cause us a lot of heartache and trouble. But give it to the Lord. Fear, anxiety, depression, worry, whatever it may be, sadness, grief, financial burdens, whatever it may be, give it to the Lord and God will provide, because God is a good God. Look at yourself. I want you to go home today. I do this. You may think this is a little silly, but go home and look in your mirror today, and I want you to see the beautiful person that God created, and then I want you to look around at what you have, what God's given you. I want you to give Him thanks for it. I'm thankful for every one of you today that you're here. and that you came. You got out in the weather and you came today to serve the Lord. Thank you for what you've done today.